Welcome back to the Dynamic Duo here on GTN. I am Morgan Reynolds, your guest host today, and I'm substituting for Dr. Jim Fetzer these middle 3 days of the week. He's told me that he had an invitation from a 9/11 truth group in Argentina. So I'll be interested to hear about that trip. And Jim is normally here the middle 3 days of the week, while Kevin Barrett, Boy Wonder, is the host on Mondays and Fridays. And today, the main order of business is, and I'm delighted to have to welcome two guests to the Dynamic Duo. On the line, we have Dr. Judy Wood, a Ph.D. engineer, and John Hutchison, a Canadian inventor and scientist. But before we go there and discuss 9/11 and anomalous physical effects and many other things, I want to turn to the economic news today. Yesterday on Dynamic Duo, I had economist Mark Thornton, and it's interesting how, at least in one day of market trading, we've got reinforcement about the correctness of our analysis. Oil closed just pennies short of $140 a barrel. Gold went up by $36 an ounce to about $919 an ounce, and reportedly that's the biggest daily gain in 21 years. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average slumped 358 points down to 11,453. So the major indexes for equities were down in the order of 3%. And my conversation yesterday online with Mark Thornton, we got it mostly right. Price inflation is on the verge of being out of control, and equity markets historically, and there's a real good theoretical reasons for this, do not fare well in inflationary times. And I thought the market would be down today, but not down by this much. And of course, daily action, you can go any way. We talked a lot about the Fed, the Federal Reserve, and our funny money system. And now they are between a rock and a hard place, to invoke that cliche. When it meets next, the Federal Open Market Committee in August, I predict it will have to show its fangs, its anti-inflation fangs, because we're on the brink of losing it, and it'll try to reestablish its fake credibility, but try and reestablish its credibility on the inflation front. And I suspect they're going to try to raise the target interest rates, the Fed fund rates that they control directly by injecting and removing reserves, by at least a quarter point or 25 basis points, up to 2.25% from the current 2% that they just decided to hold fixed. So we shall see. But reality is starting to bite the Fed fantasy stories. And it's got to work. The reality has got to affect things at the Fed eventually, and maybe eventually has arrived. There's one member of the Federal Open Market Committee, the head of the Dallas Federal Reserve Branch, Richard Fisher. He's the only member of the FOMC who seems to get it, because he insists that the Fed has got to display its anti-inflation stance and at least jawbone against inflation. Okay, so much for my comment on the market action today and the economic news. I want to introduce Dr. Judy Wood, who holds a bachelor's degree in civil engineering in structural engineering from Virginia Tech. She has a master's in engineering mechanics. She has a Ph.D. That's also Virginia Tech, a Ph.D. in materials engineering science from the Department of Engineering Science and Mechanics at Virginia Tech. She's a former professor in the Mechanical Engineering Department at Clemson, and her website is drjudywood.com, drjudywood.com. And in my opinion, she is the leading physical scientist investigating 9/11, and I have complete certainty that history will confirm and celebrate this fact. because of her unique and path-breaking physical discoveries about what happened on 9/11. Welcome to the dynamic duo, Dr. Wood.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now I want to turn and give a brief introduction for John Hutchison, also on the line. I call him a maverick inventor-scientist from Canada. He lives in the British Columbia area. And he got his start trying to duplicate experiments of Nikola Tesla, I believe, involving things like using some kind of field effects to levitate heavy objects, fuse dissimilar materials, and do other strange things that maybe change the structure of metals. And John is famous for this. It's a set of effects that are have been termed the Hutchison effect. And he's outside the mainstream science, I would say, but nonetheless, he has adherence inside mainstream science. John Hutchison, welcome to the Dynamic Duo. It's great to have you on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today on the show. Thank you.
Yes, and one thing I like about John is he's a nice man. Well, where we're going to go next, I wanted to ask Dr. Wood. In the preceding two Dynamic Duo shows, I had on a couple of guests and wanted Dr. Wood to remark on this because this is directly in her strike zone, and that is Spooked. He's a proponent of no planes in the 9/11 event, no plane crashes, but also of mini nukes being alleged to be the weapon that destroyed the Twin Towers. Dr. Wood, on the other hand, has come to the conclusion in her investigation that directed energy weapons seem to account for the data. So, Dr. Wood, would you comment on that?
Well, before I began all of this, I had never heard of directed energy weapons. I did experiments in solid mechanics and structures, and it just, you know, kind of kept my nose to the grindstone, but I do observe. And as I started looking at the data more and more, the data told me that they exist because of what I saw.
And then you followed up and found that they exist, and maybe not openly, but semi-openly.
Right. I continued gathering data and knew that they had to exist, and then found, by golly, they do, and there's a directed energy professional society. And curiously, the founding members are were contractors on the NIST report. Pretty interesting.
Isn't that? Yeah, that's pretty dang dirty, isn't it?
One thing I found pretty interesting, I methodically went through and tabulated all of the various characteristics. I gave them generic names so that I wouldn't have any bias. Like, some people would call it smoke, some would call it dust. I just called it fumes. You know, stuff coming up
right. Airborne.
And, you know, the toasted cars. I think we know the long list. And then one day I was looking at the tipping top of one of the towers and decided, you know, it looked like water turning into steam. I think that's the cue that we wait for the other side.
We are being ushered off stage by the Beatles, and I shall return, Morgan Reynolds, with a dynamic duo on the other side of the break. Today I have two wonderful guests on the line, Dr. Judy Wood, a PhD engineer, and John Hutchison, a Canadian inventor, scientist, and television entertainer. And I've learned some good news. I don't know if you want to announce it about your entertainment career, John.
Oh, I guess I can. I've been doing television for a long, long time. And the latest, greatest breaking news is I'll have a network TV show on Fox or NBC.
On Fox? Or did you say NBC?
NBC or Fox, one of the main networks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was doing getting that prepared. We've been actually working on this for 3.5 years. And
that's exciting. This is exciting.
Well, we're going to be covering a lot of interesting topics in actually directed energy later on, but our main opening will be alternative energy. 0.8.
Wow, that's a politically and economically important topic. So what would you do on, let's say, the pilot or first show?
Make one of my power crystal power cells that works on collecting zero-point energy and converting it into direct current.
Wow.
I've been making these things for years for a lot of different people and had sponsorship actually from Japan and Germany. And actually the Canadian Environment Protection Agency wanted to fund me for $5 million to go right into factory production, but that never happened.
This wouldn't be available as a product for consumers yet.
Well, I'm hoping that it could be, and that going into factory production right away kind of attitude, well, I was hoping for that would happen, but I'm taking another route, and that is, of course, going into television and just teach everybody else how to do it is what I want to do.
Okay.
We'll
have more autonomy, independence, et cetera. Although, you know, if somebody can produce it via mass production techniques and bring the price on down and what consumers would need to know, that would be a big success. Now, this would be for similar to batteries in that it provides low power, electric power?
Yeah, actually the power cells produce hardly any working energy, but when they're combined in series and parallel, then you have a unit that produces actually quite a bit of power. And I've made a few for the Japanese, which are on display in Hiroshima City, as well as Germany. And my main goal is just to teach everybody really how to do it. So I've got, like, some of my stuff has been aired on Discovery Channel and History Channel and CNN and that, and I get emails or phone calls, like one from the Studebaker Motor Company, and he wanted to know a lot about the power cells. That was last year. So then, but our opening pilot show will show this whole area, and then the next
episode. And this would be entertainment plus education or learning, right?
Yeah, this is the main theme now from Hollywood that's turning green. And a lot of new shows coming up will be covering very exotic topics, such as the battery or the race to space. Then, with our pilot, then we go into more exotic stuff, like the directed energy thing.
Wow. It's really exciting. Maybe the time has come for the John Hutchisons of the world, of which there's only one. Let me go back to Dr. Judy Wood. I want to pursue that further, but finish our topic that I brought up on the other side of the break, and that is.
I was looking at the tipping top of Tower 2, and how the stuff was bursting out as though the building was turning into steam, is what it looked like. And so I was wondering, how could every molecule or every atom suddenly start repelling itself that's normally attracted to itself, to the adjacent partners? And I was starting to research that, and that's how I came upon John's work. And there was an article he posted on his blog about the Casimir force, where it reverses that force, so things repel each other instead of attract. And I got to looking at more of his stuff, and wow, it explains every single piece of evidence that I had accumulated, every single phenomenon. So I felt pretty sure that, because I had developed that list of phenomena independent of knowing how it was
anything done. About Hutchison. That is, just as you didn't in advance know anything about the existence of directed energy weapons.
Correct.
One other of my guests, a musician, a very bright guy, Warren Cucurullo, had, when I asked him about, well, what destroyed the World Trade Center, he's also a no-planer, but he said, what did he say, a kitchen sink. Well, I said, what about mini nukes, thermite, directed energy, other forms of demolition? And so basically he was kind of writing it off. Maybe it's not too important, or he believes that all these ingredients were used, but why would you want have this kind of redundancy, or does thermite even work to destroy, have some kind of destructive effects like the Twin Towers? So I wasn't too happy with that answer. So what was your reaction?
Well, one thing, you know, that's a safe answer because you're bound to be right on one thing. Now, if you don't know what it is, it's one of those in there. But the kitchen sink approach has a problem that, you know, you don't have redundancy if it can't work on its own by itself. Like, for example, bubblegum. Bubblegum can't do it, but bubblegum combined with directed energy, you know, it can happen. Is the bubblegum contributing? Or is it, it's actually just gumming up the works, maybe. So if whatever it is can't do it alone, it's not redundant. If you have something that can do it alone, you don't need something else. It's not going to help. It's going to make it more complicated. It's like trying to light a match underwater. Why bother if you don't need to?
Right. And, you know, there are other complications when you start thinking about this. For example, if you can do it externally, that's an advantage, all else equal, versus internal placement. That's very problematic in terms of the amount of work and access and discovery issues. And then there's an interconnection here in that, let's suppose we agree there aren't any planes. Well, suppose there were planes. They would might disturb these internally placed explosives. You have an interdependency problem.
Oh, what a beautiful...
And before the break, which caught me unawares, I was commenting, Dr. Wood, that there's an interdependency here between whatever made the holes in the towers, the twin towers, whether planes or some other device, and internally planted explosives of any kind. So it's a whole lot neater and simpler if you have some device from outside. Isn't that true?
Yeah, but that's kind of speculating of what's easier. We don't know if they did what's easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like to look at the evidence. And the evidence tells us that something horrific happened that day. And an unbelievable amount of energy was brought to life. We don't know where it came from, how it came to be, but, man, we could study it and put it to good use.
Yes, which takes us to the free energy issue. And let me ask John Hutchison, you two gave a show in Portland, Oregon, and in Seattle, Washington a couple of weeks ago. And tell our listeners about that. How did that go? And I think John addressed this energy issue at least as part of your presentation, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did, actually. I was addressed the issue, and then I presented some news stories on demonstrations I gave back in the 80s when I was involved with the Star Wars program. But also, I didn't want to get involved with it, so I put this stuff on the news and that. So I was showing videos of some of the news stories and also the...
You had moral concerns about the Star Wars program involvement?
Well, it was that the... I was put in a rock and a hard place because U.S. Army intelligence at that time in 1983 said, well, we feel that the Russians have something similar and we don't want to be caught off guard, so... do your demonstrations for us. So I did. I did the demonstrations for about 4 months, and then it was closed down, and whatever happened, all that information I was told later by one of my bosses, Alex Pizarro, that they have the technology and are developing it. So that's what they were doing. And that whole area of directed energy is quite an exotic area. It covers many different areas, such as particle beams, X-ray lasers and antimatter production and that kind of stuff. So I was involved in getting a lot of information from the Department of Defense. Being a contractor, I was able to get a lot of stuff from the SBIR Innovative Program, a lot of handbooks on all the latest and greatest technologies.
So take us back to Portland and Seattle, how that went, and the heart of your presentation.
I think it went extremely well. Nobody threw any rotten eggs at me. So I think it went well, and I have fun talking to the audiences on this kind of topics, and I've done it in Japan and also in other parts of the U.S., and I always get a good audience at... And my favorite time is questions and answers. It's a fun part of...
Yes, it is. Yes. Always. And Dr. Wood, what was your experience regarding these presentations?
It was wonderful. That it was. I felt a lot of warm, kind feelings from the audience. I felt like we're all, on the same team and trying to, just answer questions, see what's going on, and absorb new information as... as a room full of people together, we were learning.
Mm-hmm.
And in Portland, it was kind of fun. There was, somebody even brought their own battery that they'd made to show.
Okay. So did they learn that from John Hutchison or independent of John's work?
Oh, John, do you remember what kind of battery he had?
I can't remember. It was everything was so fast-paced there, and I didn't get a chance to actually talk to the gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see him holding it. He was very nervous about it.
In it. It's
surprising. Now, you two have been vigorously attacked, persistent, various ways to discredit you or raise doubts, and a lot of resistance to the work of both of you. And the truth movement, the 9/11 truth movement, there was a group in Seattle that didn't they take down the website or try to boycott the presentation that of John Hutchison and Judy Wood?
Yeah, I think it was the webmaster that took down the website in protest. But we just had people who came to it who wanted to be there. It was great. I thought it was kind of interesting taking down the website. You kind of wonder why. Does the truth need protection?
Yeah, you don't. It's un-American. So many of these things, really.
They're against control.
Vigorous competition and ideas hey, that's the way science has progressed historically. It seems to me. Well, John, I wanted to ask you that, in the past now, our host for the middle 3 days of the week, Jim Fetzer on Dynamic Duo, has not been friendly toward you or your work. And that's involved Ace Baker, who believes that the Hutchison effect is not real, these seemingly inexplicable or anomalous effects like levitation and melding materials. And one of the questions that I had, Ace Baker shows you these fake videos that are obviously fake, and then he claims the Hutchison effect isn't real. And there's various things involved here, but one of them is trying to get a sense of how these would come about through some kind of field effects. It would take multiple things, I guess, interacting, and I wanted to get your explanation on that. And then another one is replication. Apparently there's news that from York University that our listeners should know about, but... And these demonstrations, as I understand it, initially in a lot of your work were less reliable, and now you've got them down pat. And this involves interaction, some kind of field effects. Now, you're a product of Nikola Tesla's. How you started? You were inspired by him, who his father of the wireless radio and a lot of other electrical phenomena.
Excuse me. Yes, actually, Tesla was a great inspiration to me, and I discovered these effects, which were multiple field effects with RF and Tesla coils, standing columnar waves and electrostatics, along with a small alpha beta source, were an accidental discovery, and which were discovered by Hathaway and Pizarro, as well as Colonel Alexander, and then promoted to U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command.
Boy, there were a whole bunch of words there, John, I didn't quite understand. And between you and Dr. Wood, I've got to learn more. And this is the dynamic duo. We shall return with our physical scientists on the other side of the break. Here, talking with Dr. Judy Wood, a PhD engineer who's made path-breaking strides on what happened on 9/11, and John Hutchison, a Canadian inventor and scientist. And let me change the topic, and I want to go back to John, but I got an email from Warren Cucurullo, who's was my guest yesterday, and he says, in a good-natured way, "Hey, I just switched on and heard you and the real Dr. Judy talking kitchen sink. Ha, I go for all things exotic." PSYOP needs the unknown. I concur there. There's lots of that gear. I agree. Why use something that's not redundant? Or really, I think that we don't need the nod in there, but placement issues with charges. Remember, there has to be a way for charges to go off after the initial charges go, even in a WTC-7 type demo. Well, there's a lot going on here. And he mentions an day shot, which, of course, is supposed to be the film of a plane going into or something going into the North Tower. He says, you see additional cutter charges making the wing hull 6 seconds after the plane entered. So there's a lot there, but wanted to give Dr. Judy Wood a chance to interact, comment on that.
That was a kitchen sink kind of comment.
Yeah, Warren has a lot of thoughts mingled there.
I think human nature that folks like to jump to the answer and then back up and look for the data to support it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important, vitally important, to just look at the data. And you look at the data long enough, and more data, and the data speaks to you and tells you what happened.
Yeah, be more patient.
You'll arrive at the right answer. Right.
Okay. Well, let's go back to John. And John's been you're used to criticisms and skeptics, and they've included Jim Fetzer and Ace Baker. And I was trying to get a grip on how do these unusual effects that seem to have occurred in the 9/11 at the World Trade Center, that seems undeniable that there are Hutchison-like effects in the data, but how do you make, how do you get levitation or melding or disintegration? You've got to arrange for a bunch of waves to interact. I know this sounds ignorant because it is, but, most of the public with almost no physical science understanding, and that's why a lot of us, they see science and technology as magical and don't understand it.
Oh, yes, of course. it's basically wave interactions,
mm-hmm.
many different levels, which acts as a key way and opens up a whole other realm in quantum physics, which does the effects. It supplies all the energy needed. And it can levitate up to 1,500 pounds, as documented on video. And
wow.
Yeah, that's been well documented.
And that's why they call it anti-gravity, and there's a website with this antigravity.com or some such URL.
How much power did you put into it to do that?
Oh, the power levels depend on progression through time with various setups. Using the Tesla coil systems, anywhere from 75 watts to 4,000 watts, which I was using up until last February, until the fire marshal shut all these demonstrations down because it's just getting out of hand for this particular small city. But that was about 4,000 watts max.
And you would be paying for that power commercially?
Oh, yeah, just commercial power. It's
mm-hmm.
too expensive. On a good demonstration, we usually wrap it up in about an hour's time.
Okay, so it's these complex, and through your own experimentation, you learned more and more about what to add and subtract and modulate and time, and you got more and more reliable effects. You're experimenting and improving your understanding.
That's right. I mean, always. Was experimenting in the 1980s. I got out of a contract with the Canadian government, then went into with the Boeing group, as they call them, and we got up to about 5 major effects per hour, which is very good. And then I went to Germany for 2 years, then returned here. Lab was taken by the Canadian government. Then I reproduced the effects in 2000 for Fox TV, and I got up to where I could just sit down, and within a few minutes, things will be floating in the air for the TV people, so I got a lot accomplished. But I was going so much on this, like since 2006 when National Geographic did a special on it. We had many production companies come through here and just turn it on. But unfortunately, it just caused too much problems for this city because the effects were being felt in other locations and other buildings, and that reached the attention of the mayor. He's been very patient and loves this kind of stuff, but his city hall couldn't handle it anymore, so
Mr. Barbara. If your show is a success, then you could assemble equipment, as you will, to work these things, presumably in the Los Angeles area, right? I mean, that would be a big gain for you. And maybe it'd be if it's a commercial success, it would be lucrative even. But down the road when you want to present, and they want you to present some of these exotic effects, then you'd need all the equipment to make it happen.
Well, I have most of the equipment here. I didn't let the fire people. We blocked the fire people with lawsuits and everything else. So.
So what you would do is move all your equipment.
Oh yeah, Hollywood would pay for the move. Not too much of a big deal really for them, but we have 13 episodes of exotic stuff covering the levitations to actually time travel and antimatter experiments and other unique exotic stuff out of the military industrial complex. A lot of that stuff is already exists there and. They do mention of it a little bit.
This turns me back to Dr. Wood in that she argues that, let's make 9/11 into a good thing in that it was an incredible demonstration of what directed energy can do. And maybe there's something free or low cost available where we could turn this to peaceful uses. And hey, with a barrel of oil at $140 a barrel and perhaps going higher in the short run, we could use the whole planet could live better if we had access to free or near free energy. Dr. Wood.
Well, like I said earlier, that something horrendous happened that day, and it's worth studying at least to be able to, put it to good use. It was rather incredible. And, think of the implications of free energy. It changes our society. We're no longer, fighting over oil. Of course, oil is control. But if energy were free, we're free to then live life instead of running on an exercise wheel as fast as we can.
The promise of free energy. This is Morgan Reynolds, your host on the Dynamic Duo, and we'll resume our conversation with physical scientists Dr. Judy Wood and John Hutchison on the other side of the break. Thank you. Today I'm delighted to discuss events mostly around 9/11, but also physical science and entertainment, with Dr. Judy Wood, a PhD engineer, and John Hutchison, a famous Canadian inventor and scientist. And first, I was listening to the news there, and I couldn't help but notice that our resident liar and mass murderer in the White House is talking about the surveillance bill and cutting a deal with the honorable or dishonorable opposition, more war money. And I wanted to ask John if he had a... Is the same thing going on in Canada with the participation in the war on terror and the fake enemies and the infringement on civil liberties and the various kinds of untoward economic changes? Have they turned very ugly in Canada?
Basically the same. They're trying to eliminate all health products like vitamins and minerals, so Bill C-52 and other things that are going on here. Same situation, and I have a friend who's a congressman, Dennis Kucinich. I've he was to come around here in 2006, but he's trying to impeach Bush, and I hope he does. As well as we're trying to, on our front here, we're trying to overturn some of these crazy politicians. They're passing all these rules and regulations.
Okay, yeah, situation similar. I'm interested in that. This whole business of vitamins. I take vitamins. One of them is the glucosamine combinations that I credit with making me a viable tennis player, or at least a guy who plays at tennis regularly, you know, to keep that cartilage there in the knees. And yeah, if they, you know, it's outside the mainstream medical establishment where I say it's just either big pharma or cutting. They're terrible on prevention and healthy living, which, these various vitamins are very important. So they're trying to cut away at that.
Well, they're trying to eliminate them all, and if you're in possession of vitamin C, you could wind up 2 years in jail and get fined.
How can they, what basis do they have? What's their argument?
Well, you know, the government, they always say, we've got to protect you. That's their intention.
Overdosing on vitamin C?
Oh, they want to put it all in a category we can get it only through a doctor's prescription. So,
they hate that. You're outside the box there, yeah.
But us Canadians are into this stuff big time, so we're putting up a brave battle against these nuts in Ottawa. And, I mean, it's a matter of taking away slowly all our civil rights in time.
Yes.
In the U.S. and Canada, and we got to fight back, become aware, and realize that these people are, I don't know, lost their marbles or just formed
well, that raises
paranoia.
A question in my mind. I know that you're a hobbyist, a gun collector, and I wondered, are you also what we would call a Second Amendment gun rights type that we have here in the States?
100%. I think that if you own, anybody should own anything if they're totally responsible for it. If they're not responsible for it, then they should get jail time. I've owned guns since I was a kid.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you were to use a gun to commit a crime, for example, yeah.
Absolutely, and anything else. It could be a ham radio. I mean, at one time they wanted to eliminate ham radio guys. Close off military surplus, too.
Are we near the fascist state, the totalitarian state, or already there? I want to make an announcement. I learned from Andrew Johnson, our friend in England, that Dr. Judy Wood's Seattle presentation is already up on YouTube, and John Hutchison's will be soon. So those who want to see how that went, go to YouTube. Now, I have a colleague back at Texas A&M University who's an economist, and he's come out with a book whose title is Power Struggle, Energy in the 21st Century. That's a pretty clever title. Energy is certainly an ingredient in all of this, the sorry way we're headed politically and economically and socially. And here's my question. I'm thinking about the lure of free or cheap energy, and how could this come about? And how would we get there? You know, it doesn't look very promising right now, but the way it ordinarily would be would be that the Hutchison and Woods of the world make scientific breakthroughs. The engineers make these into viable delivery systems, and entrepreneurs and investors would find a way to bring it to the market, to the general public. And I just wondered if either one of you thought about how can we get there? It's all systems seem blocked. You know, there are these there's fringe players here, like what is that magazine and foundation, Infinite Energy, and so on. And I'm not tuned into these groups, but that's probably not going to get it done. Although it may lower some barriers. How are we going to get there?
Well,
for either one of you, you have any thoughts about that?
I think through news media, my TV shows, and what's airing already out there on History Channel and CNN, because I get heavy, heavy emails from people that are highly interested in what I'm doing and quite supportive. And I think going into larger networks with a network TV show will inspire a lot of people to get the momentum going.
So there's promise on that front. You're saying that the media, the mass media, are at least elements of it, are receptive to this whole area. Whereas on 9/11, of course, that's pretty much a taboo. They block all that.
I know the media is. I know a lot of journalists, and a lot of journalists leave the media, like CNN and NBC, and form their own production companies because they are not allowed to criticize Bush, as I'm told, as well as other situations like that. But I think this kind of thing is breaking out now more and more in mainstream media, and people are just...
Well, that's all to the good, then. So you're pretty optimistic, even short run, that we can make some headway on this front of alternative energy to the conventional oil, natural gas.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
Okay. What about you, Dr. Wood? What is your thinking on that?
It becomes pretty clear that if you control energy, you control the people. If you don't control energy because it's free, you don't control the people, and they are truly free. So free energy has a couple of meanings to it.
And, you know, the powers that be are that powerful, they will go to some lengths to keep people unfree.
So if it's as easy as John says it is, I can, you know, teach people, you know, how to do it one afternoon, we're all good to go.
Yeah, well, and then, but it has to be practical in that most of us are ignorant about all these things, and we need something that's easy to use, like you turn an ignition key, and then the car starts up on gasoline, right? Gasoline and air. Oh, this is Morgan Reynolds on the Dynamic Duo, and we will be back with Wood and Hutchison. And my email is lit up. The first one is directed at John, and this is Keith in Massachusetts, and Keith writes, I am surprised at you, Morgan, in your apparent intellectual integrity lapse. You appear to passively accept what this joker is saying. His vids have been debunked. He admitted he faked the vid with the string thingy, and you just go on, wading in his BS. Jim is right about this, and you are completely off board. It's too bad Judy latched on to this joker, since her work is being discredited in my estimation. Why don't you ask him about his BS video tricks? John.
Oh, I'd like to say one thing. I thought it was pretty cool that John showed the actual original footage of that UFO in a string at the Portland and Seattle talk. Okay, John, yeah, tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. We just simply, for Discovery Channel Networks, we hooked up a toy UFO-shaped thing onto a string, and it's clearly shown, and I talk about the string, and because we don't want it bouncing out of the target area, so it starts flopping around on TV there, and that's basically the string theory on that.
String theory, yeah. This wasn't intended to be a levitation demonstration.
Oh, no, it could levitate,
yeah.
But, you know, it's... I've also done other experiments where I actually attach high voltage to UFO-shaped things like T. Townsend Brown did. So I can, if I sideline a bit there, that's some of the other experiments I do in electrostatics and electrostatic propulsion systems. So.
But in, and then Keith, of course, is making this more general point with that example that you refute. But he's making this more general point that you are a fake, John. And so Fetzer and Ace Baker are right.
Oh, good heavens! I actually don't pay much, I don't pay too much attention to these characters because I'm so busy with all this stuff and. I just find it kind of humorous. I thought actually Ace Baker was having just fun, really, in the beginning with his little Ken thing. But
okay, now we go to an email from Nico Hawk, and he says, of course, he's a well-known 9/11 activist researcher, and he says, Morgan, in case you read this now, how about talking a bit about the confirmed history of DEW, the directed energy weapons, and the pre-9/11 contracts for future combat system. Judy never mentions it, and he gives me some material below. So that's directed to Dr. Wood.
Well, I don't talk about anything but the evidence, and I've been careful to do just that, just things that I have seen and noticed myself, rather than like secondhand, you know, he said, she said, who said, what said. That's what the category I call it. The various things we've heard and things stated, but it really comes down to physically what happened, not who's controlling it. In my mind, I like to look at what happened.
Yeah.
And the future combat system, or I understand that's like some computer thing. That's into, you know, a control thing and who done it, and I don't have much interest in that.
Or a special insight there. Okay, yeah, this isn't the way you operate to do this, we'll call it this historical research.
It's fun that other people do
it.
I
say it's useful, but that's not your modus operandi. Here's an email from Andrew Johnson. And he's our friend over in England. And Andrew says, lead into the Aaron study. We ought to talk about that, I think, at one point here. And that is the hurricane off New York City on the morning of 9/11. It has not been discussed yet on the dynamic duo, to Andrew's knowledge. And Andrew says it'll give kitchen sink man another item of crockery to scrub down, Warren Cerullo. And then also there's another issue that Andrew raises, talk about Tesla coils and storms. So these are in more energy related to phenoms. So Dr. Wood, you've tell us a little bit about the Aaron study that's posted on your website.
Well, and I was looking for, you know, characteristics of the fumes coming up and the plume. I decided to look for a satellite image, and then, what's this? It's this huge hurricane parked right outside of New York City on 9/11 that, to my knowledge, we didn't hear anything about. And I looked into it more and more, and then I started looking at storm pictures of tornadoes and hurricanes. And, you know, Hurricane Andrew in 92, there's some pictures of a 2x4 through a palm tree, And then a plywood through a palm tree, cars upside down. Come to think of it, there's a lot in common, you know, pattern recognition with 9/11 and Hutchison effect type things. And I got to looking at the storm clouds of tornadoes and hurricanes, and they look like a big Tesla coil. Maybe John can tell us what Tesla coils do.
Well, Tesla coils are high-frequency open-air transformers that when they actually have other attachments to them, you can create all kinds of wondrous fields with them. You can phase them, put them out of phase, and create energy at a distance, actually, with these unique devices. Very simplistic they are. And the Soviet engineering and military developed them into very exotic directed energy systems.
There is a beetle singing, and this is Morgan Reynolds on the Dynamic Duo. Please return after the break and more fascinating conversation with Dr. Wood and John Hutchison. And in this segment, I wanted to discuss two things. One was about the storms, and then go back to this whole topic of John's been accused of being a phony, and as Keith in Massachusetts argued, and well, one of the issues there is replication. Can the Hutchison effect be replicated? But if we go back to the storm issue, Dr. Wood, are you saying, are you making, as an outsider, an intervention here where really the weather and the characteristics of these storms and possible field effects, and there are things going on there that the conventional science has overlooked or misunderstands?
Yeah, if you start noticing flip cars and boards through trees, but one thing we do know, we sense when a storm is coming. We feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And there must be some sort of field effect, you know, away from the storm, but maybe under the storm, but in the surrounding area. So it must do something. And I've noticed some odd effects on the weather in New York City on 9/11. And I'm curious, John, is there, like, Tesla coils, do they do something with the moisture content in the air?
Oh, they can affect the moisture content, for sure. There's a lot of experiments done in the Soviet Union on those, that aspect, as well as in the Department of Defense, USA, during experimentation, they find there's unusual kind of configuration of clouds and cloud movements. I mean, these are small experiments, but on a grander scale, of course, there's speculation of the HAARP being used for that kind of purposes by reversing the ionosphere's polarity.
How about temperature?
No, temperature can be dropped down. It can either be brought up or dropped down through Tesla coils. The proper arrangements of them can produce unusual effects that way.
That's some pretty weird stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's the more exotic.
But would these storms perhaps be enhanced or created by human intervention with this technology? I mean, this is going beyond the possible misunderstanding of the current nature of storms, but rather the suspicion that some bad guys are messing with the weather. We know the military, of course, has long investigated this. Have some of these bad weather events been likely to? Are they likely synthetic? Is that the suspicion that is behind some of this investigation, or is Dr. Wood? Are you you're just saying, hey, I see some patterns here? And we need to pursue that.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that there's this huge hurricane right outside New York City that we don't hear about, yet we heard about Katrina. And this one is larger than Katrina and projected to be stronger than Katrina. And it has an interesting pattern. You notice it makes a beeline straight to right outside New York City. On 9/11, it's the closest in the morning of 9/11, and then it kind of makes a U-turn and goes east and backs out of town.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things as a social observer that is so incredible and makes points a big finger at the bad guys is how little the media had alerted the public to this hurricane off the East Coast. It's just incredible that most of us never knew about it.
And there was rain detected on Long Island then, and rain at Cape Cod. I want to make sure we have time left to get to that other thing of the replication.
Oh, yes.
I
wanted to play intro to that with John Hutchison has been accused of being a phony and the Hutchison effect being fakery. And one of the issues is Well, has this been replicated? Right. Have others been able to produce the so-called Hutchison effect? And I understand there's a recent announcement that someone or some team at York University has replicated the Hutchison effect.
Yes, that's recent news in replications to York University, as it's outside the U.S. military industrial complex. Inside there, it's been replicated, all aspects of it, but in the private sector, like university and that, it's been replicated a lot, and different segments of it have been replicated, and it's actually taught in Austria as well as Germany.
Cool.
That's just an effect, which I haven't...
Oh, in universities, so it's creeping into the mainstream science?
Oh, yeah, lots of it is, all the time. Lots of it. It's kind of leaking out in from the military-industrial... folks also. And
okay, why don't you do you have that URL where interested listeners could go and
see the
account of this replication?
Oh,
I got
for
a link
sure.
at the top of my webpage too that goes to John's site.
Okay, yes, I see it. Links to other sites at the top of the webpage, the homepage for Dr. Judy Wood, drjudywood.com. You'll see a link to the Hutchison effect replicated, and it takes you to johnhutchison.blogspot.com. Now, what is York University, John? You were saying they're outside the military-industrial complex.
Yes, I know it's been replicated there years ago. In the military,
but isn't the Canadian university system 100% state-sponsored? I mean, there's no equivalent of our quasi-private universities.
I don't know. Maybe they are.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been announcements over the years of replications in universities, whereas
okay.
There's been rumors of Lockheed Martin developed it entirely, doing exotic research in their space flight and also aircraft. And I've seen some of the projects myself in the sub-basements of some universities, like ion cannons. Very unique, exotic stuff. And as far as replicating it goes, on my part here, I can replicate it since 1980 on up to, well, this year, February, when the fire marshal has shut it all down. So
no, temporary, temporary, right?
Oh, yeah, just temporary stuff, I mean. As I said, I have a friend who's a lawyer, and they backed down because we were going to go to the Supreme Court, and also the Human Rights Commission. So, but for Hollywood, it'll be replicated yet again, and I could probably get away with a demonstration here again for another production company, but I might get in trouble. But what the heck, I love trouble.
It finds you, John.
I love it. I love it.
This is Morgan Reynolds on the Dynamic Duo, and we will have more with John Hutchison, maverick Canadian scientist, and Dr. Judy Wood on the other side of the break. I want to make an announcement here. I just heard from John Lear, the retired pilot. He's going to be on the Dynamic Duo next Thursday, July 3, and, I'm going to listen. He's a great guy. And... we heard from C.B. Brooklyn, and C.B. Brooklyn says, how could a 767 hitting the World Trade Center alter the Earth's magnetic field? Any responses there?
Beautiful question. Yeah, you have any ideas how that could happen?
How could that happen? I don't think that could happen, but what is he getting at there?
In the Aaron study I did, Aaron was the hurricane on 9/11. There's magnetometer readings from Alaska in different places, and each time an event occurred in New York City, there's a change in the magnetic chart.
Wow. So just to speculate, that something may be connected with the whole energy issue. And
yeah,
how they did it.
I do know that magnetism can get turned into electricity. Electricity can turn into magnetism, but I'm sure there's more to it than that.
And CB Brooklyn follows up by asking, if possible, could you comment about Dr. James Black and Tesla's grandniece?
Oh, that'd be for me, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Should I continue?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, James W. Black, he worked with Ferris Technologies in the early 2000, I believe, and he was exposing all the directed energy people and CIA and a whole gang of them, tens of names and that, into the media. And I never knew this guy before. He just came out of nowhere, and I didn't realize, okay, you know, this is kind of wild, but email after email, he was sending out to all these people, including famous lawyers in Los Angeles and all the energy people, directed energy people and everything else. So I thought, okay, it's kind of interesting stuff. So then one day it all stopped in 2004. He was found supposedly murdered in his Toronto apartment. So I confronted George Hathaway on it, and he said, well, James Black, blah, 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 was suffered from a bipolar disorder and all that stuff. So that's what George says. Now, okay, the other name there was,
Tesla's grandniece
was found dead in her Burnsville, Minnesota motorhome.
How long ago was that, roughly?
It was actually last year. She is a supporter of Tesla, a friend of Art Bell, as well as Lisa Land, co-producer. And nobody paid any attention. I phoned the Burnsville medical examiner, and they didn't give me much information, but I put a tribute up to her. She's a bit of a cyber stalker, too, unfortunately. She wanted me and was a cyber stalker and wrote up stuff, but, you know, people do that, I guess, in hurt. So anyway, I kind of throw away anything negative, and I put up a tribute to her on my blogger thing, my virtual filing cabinet, which is kind of a mess, but, you know, I don't hold negative energy against anybody, even if even these characters that think I film everything upside down with the news people. I just don't have time for it. I think it's kind of funny, but, you know, it's silly. But unfortunately, those two passed, as well as another friend, D. Scott Rogo, back in 1990. I was in communication with him, and he's found murdered, and he was written up in Omni magazine on that issue. So there's a lot of strange things, and there was a lot of murders actually during the Star Wars program, and that turned into murders of geneticists in the new programs of genetics. So I just find it kind of odd. But
yeah, I remember that wave of murders of or mysterious deaths of the biochemists around the anthrax scare. We're almost out of time here on the Dynamic Duo, and I wanted to get both of you to look at the big picture and maybe I'm looking for your degree of optimism or pessimism, but right now things are going badly. We haven't made any breakthroughs on 9/11, really, although we're moving the ball a little bit. But what do you think the next 5 years holds? Are we going to be worse off? Are we going to be here? Are we going to be better off, Dr. Wood?
Well, biggest thing I can see is I would like people to know that they have a choice. You know, they can see where things are going, but they don't have to go that way. We have a choice, and, you know, I think the energy issue is along that road of the other choice, is to look at different ways of doing things, and free energy and...
So our fate is in our own hands.
Yes.
That's encouraging. Now, at least opens the opportunity. The opportunities are there. Whether they are seized, that's another matter. Now, John, I detected you were, while you say things are bad, the Canadian government's doing skullduggery on the par with the U.S., yet you seem very sunny. You're more optimistic in your outlook. Is that right?
Yes, very much so. I mean, anybody or any country that's been suppressed in that, it might get worse, but then it always breaks loose. And I'm very optimistic, and I don't like, as I mentioned before, I don't like harboring negative energy. And oddly enough, during the break, the news media out front here were throwing pebbles at my window, wanting for an interview for their magazine.
Well, I guess that's a cheery event, and kind of confirms your view, your world outlook.
I think you have some nice news media there.
You're going to have a positive outlook and fight control freaks on a strong level, like Dennis Kucinich is doing, and like we're doing in Canada, fighting these guys that want to take all our supplements away and other issues and gun control and control and control of everything, basically. Pretty soon you need a passport to walk outside your door. I mean, it's all paranoia and social engineering on a paranoid level, and I think it's not healthy for people.
It's almost hard to imagine what the bad guy's mindset is, but control freak, yeah, that's a very good label.
Yeah.
And, like Warren Cucurullo said yesterday, as he says on his song, Raging BS, he says the word, but raging, he says, we got to reboot the system.
I think you're right. Got to reboot it. And, you know, I hear a story about the Bilderbergers and Rothschilds, and I don't know who they are, but I guess they exist, and they seem to be like if you know the X-Files folks out there, that these old guys sitting around smoking their cigars and planning world events, I guess that's quite true with these characters. So you got to sort of, I guess...
There's planning and then there's execution. Sometimes the central control of the powers that be, it looks exaggerated, but there's no doubt that there is concentrated... economic and political power, and most of it's not visible. That is, it's mysterious.
I'd like to add one more thing. Is a lesson I learned from my cat. If you don't run, the dog can't chase you.
I love it.
And confront your ghosts and the real enemies. Well, this is Morgan Reynolds. It's been fun on the Dynamic Duo, signing off for Dr. Judy Wood and John Hutchison. Thank you for listening, and thank you, my guests, for being here.
Real pleasure, sir.
Thank you for having us.